All righty. Thank you, David and Emily and Josh. Good music. Good piano playing and singing.
Sorry, I forgot about children's church.
Okay.
No children's. Never mind.
All righty. Anyway, my wife and I have been on a trip for about 7 weeks, so I might seem like a visitor today. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20, and my wife was ill this week, which hardly ever happens. I don't think I can remember the last time she missed the church service, but she was didn't want to come today. She is starting to feel better, just did not want to spread her whatever she had, a little bug. And I'm going to be in Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple of verses in chapter 12 first, but we're going to be in Exodus chapter 5, verse 20 beginning. I just want to read a couple of verses in Exodus 12 just to give you the setting here that Moses is faced with. Exodus 12, 37 and 38, and then we're going to go right to Exodus 5. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. I wanted you to see that because what Moses has here is a great host of people. He has great responsibility. It says 600,000 men and children and all these animals, and doesn't even mention the wives. So you're talking over 1 million people, at least, 1.5 million maybe, and that he's responsible for. And it has to be a well-organized expedition. There were plagues and negotiations taking place, and that must have lasted at least a year. And things were going to get much worse before they would get better. And in the midst of this, great historical event in the Bible is a human being named Moses. You know, and sometimes we read about these figures in the Bible and we think they're like super people. Yet they're not super people. They're just like you, like me. And Moses is in need of great encouragement. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the end result is we see God meets his needs just as he will meet our needs. So look in Exodus chapter 5 now. And this is where our message is going to take place, the main part of the message. Exodus 5. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. And they met Moses and Aaron, and who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, "The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." Just seems like the more Moses spoke to Pharaoh, the worse it got for the people. And the people are feeling this. Chapter 6. And then said the Lord unto Moses, "Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land." And God said unto Moses and said unto him, "I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage wherein they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord. And then the final verse, verse 9, and Moses said, spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Let's pray. Our Father, I do thank you for this scripture and in the life of Moses, for it shows us how you're there to encourage your servant, just like you're there to encourage us today. And I pray, Father, that you'll use this message in our hearts and lives. If there be one here that's never trusted you as their Savior the Bible way, I pray this would be the day they'd make that most important decision that will determine where they spend eternity. Pray they might not leave this place today without doing business with you, for you welcome them with open arms. And I just pray now, Father, that you would be exalted in all that I say and do, and thank you again for this day. And again, we thank you for Pastor Poehler and his ministry and Katie, and pray for your hand to be upon them wherever they might be this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. See, Moses was chosen here to lead the people out of Egypt. He had the responsibility to visit Pharaoh and inform him about God's plans for the nation of Israel. Pharaoh responded by making it very difficult for the people. And as a result, Moses is taking it on the chin here, and he was a little discouraged and perplexed, and he was doing the right thing. You know, that happens sometimes. We do the right thing, and things kind of get a little harder sometimes. He was doing what God had told him to do, and this is what he's faced with today. This is the situation here. And remember, I had mentioned, you're talking over probably 1.5 million people at least. And that's not even counting all the livestock and so forth. So God reminds Moses of some great truths about himself. And if Moses would keep these truths in mind, he would be able to rest in the Lord. He would realize that his task was not bigger than the God he served. You know, that happens. You know, sometimes we get a task and we think it's bigger than the God we serve, but that's not the case. There's nothing we face in life that is bigger than the God we serve. He's bigger. And Moses is reminded of this, and it actually, in the end of this message, you'll see it really helps him. And one of the things God reminds Moses of is that he is a powerful God. Look in verse 1 and 2 again of chapter 6 here. It says, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of the land. And God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. And then verse 3, and I appeared unto Abram and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, and by my name God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known. So there's a little change here of names that he mentions that is significant here. Pharaoh is no match for God. He's powerful, all right. It's like Hitler, he was powerful. It's like Putin, he's powerful, but they're no match for God. And Pharaoh's no match. He did have advantage. See, Moses has basically slaves, not soldiers, and Pharaoh has soldiers, and I mean, it's really mismatched. But God was already arranging the circumstances for the people to be released from Egypt. He was working on the people's behalf, even though they didn't know it or realize it. He was working on Moses' behalf, and He's working on our behalf, even sometimes when we don't realize it. He says he has a strong hand, a mighty hand. He uses that term. And then the names he uses here are significant. He says God Almighty, that's the word El Shaddai, means nourisher, strength giver, the God who is able. You know, he's able to carry me through, as the song goes. And that's how he was known to people, God's people. But now, with Moses, he uses the name Jehovah. And that's the difference. That's different. This is the personal name of God. It means redeemer. It is always connected with deliverance when it's used in Scripture. And the name Jehovah would remind Moses that his God was not only the sustainer and provider, but also the one who was personally related to his people. He is powerful, he tells Moses. He tells us that too. He is personally involved in Moses' problem. You think that didn't encourage Moses? You know, all his responsibility, and he's discouraged, and the people are beating on him. He gets the message from God and takes it to the people, and they don't believe him. And God says, I'm powerful, Moses. I'm almighty. And I'm your personal God, Moses. I'm personally involved in your problem. And that's true of us, too. I don't know what your problem is today. You know, we all have problems. If you don't have a problem today, you'll probably have one tomorrow. So we all have problems, but it's always encouraging to know that God's working on it. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. 24/7, God's always on duty. You know, we aren't always on duty, but he's always on duty, watching over us, working in our lives, especially if we know him as our personal Savior and Lord. We know he's not going to forget us. There's nothing we go through that he's not aware of. There's not a problem too much bigger. You know, we can't have a problem too much bigger than Moses had here. 1.5 million people yelling and screaming and kids crying and animals bleeding. And he's supposed to have that all organized and lead them in out of Egypt. So that's what we see here. So the first thing Moses realizes here, and God wants him to see, is we serve a powerful God. He's bigger than our problems. There's no problem bigger than him. The second thing I see here is in verse 5. Look in chapter 6, verse 5. It said, "And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant." We not only serve a powerful God, we serve a compassionate God. He's aware of their hardships. He sees their hard work. He sees their bloody backs. He sees their despair. You know, I can't imagine, you know, from experience what they're going through. I've had a couple tough bosses through the years, but I've never had, you know, anybody beat up on me or not pay me or make me work endless hours. And that's what was taking place here. And God is trying to help Moses and them to understand that he cares. He's going to deliver them. You know, that's his promise. He's going to deliver them through Moses. And he really does care. Look in Hebrews chapter 4. There's a couple of verses here I want to look at just for encouragement. Hebrews chapter 4. Beginning in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then we get this invitation, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this is Jesus Christ inviting us to come to him for, with our needs, with our cares, with our problems. And he says he'll help us. He's aware of our problems and what we're going to ask before we even ask, because he's already working on the problem. And that's what he was doing in Moses' day here. He's working on it. They just don't know it. And many times we go through struggles and God's got it under control. We just don't know it. We don't realize it. And then we're reminded. And that brings a lot of comfort and strength to our hearts. He really does care. God really did care for Moses and the people. And yet there's this struggle going on. And then the third thing I notice in verses 6 through 8 is God is faithful. Look in verse 6 again here. It says, Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land, concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance, for an heritage. I am the Lord. God tells Moses to put aside his broken spirit and feelings of inadequacy and return to the people with this message. He mentions seven I ams, or I wills, sorry. In fact, the title of my message is, If God Says He Will He? If God says he will he? And he says seven I wills here to encourage Moses. He says, take this message back to the people. I will rid you of their bondage. I will rid you and bring you out from their burdens. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, he says. I will take you for my people. I will be to you a God. I will bring you into the land, and I will give you to you as the land as a heritage. And these are promises of God. And that's another thing that fits us today. You know, many times when we go through struggles, God ministers to us by reminding us of his great promises. Do you think if God says he will, do you think he will? If he says he'll do something, do you think he'll do it? If I say I'll do something, there's a good chance I will, but there is a slight chance, because I'm human, that I might not. I might fail. You might fail. But God doesn't fail. His promises are sure. When he says, I will, he will. Now, what are some of the I wills for the believer today or for people today? Well, there are some in Scripture. I picked a few of them out here. God reminds us as well that we have some I wills in Scripture. For example, I will save you if you call upon me. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember prior to getting saved, I called upon the Lord a couple of times. Lord, if you get me out of trouble, I'll straighten up. Well, you know, next day or two, I'm out of trouble and back to the old, same old thing. But But then there came a day where I called upon him with belief in my heart that he's the Savior. I'm a sinner. He's the Savior. He paid the price on the cross for my sin in full. And my part is to believe the gospel. And then when I called upon him, he saved me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He will save you. That's his promise. If there's anyone here today that's never called upon the Lord with faith in the Lord, you do that today, and he will save you. If you don't do that, and you haven't never done that, then you're not saved. You're not a saved person. He can't save you unless you believe, unless you understand you're a sinner in need of a Savior. But that's one of the I wills he offers today. He offered Moses seven of them. He offers, I'm going to show you three of them for people today. These are mostly for believers, but the second one is, I will answer prayer. Look in Jeremiah chapter 33:3. I think it's 33:3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Oh, yeah, that's it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now, if I was to ask you here today individually, some of you especially that have been saved for many years, you go back to that initial call, address Jesus as your Savior, you got saved, but from that point until now, there have been many times you've come to the Lord in prayer, and he has answered. You know, specific things, without a doubt, an answer from him. And I know there could be some testimonies like that here. I could give some testimonies on answered prayer. He says, I will answer. Remember Hebrews 4:14-16, he invites us to come. You know that word? It's a powerful word in Scripture, C-O-M-E. When it comes from the lips of the Lord Jesus, he says, come. He offers that invitation to every person. Come. Come unto me, he says. And he'll give us rest. Rest for our souls. And then, you know, as far as prayers being answered, there's another verse I want to share with you because it's important to know that it's, you know, the Lord's not just a, you know, gimme, my name's Jimmy type of a, you know, just ask him for things only when you want something and you don't care about him any other time. But look in John chapter 15. It gives us a little secret to answered prayer. John chapter 15, I think it's verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and shall be done unto you. See, the secret to getting real prayer answered and to having an effective prayer life is to be in tune with the Lord. Be in tune with his word. Find out what he likes and dislikes. And your prayers will line up. And when you ask him something, he's going to grant that prayer. He always answers prayer, either yes, no, or wait. We're fortunate he says no sometimes to our prayers. But there's a lot of misconception about prayer today because of the health and wealth gospel people, you know, name it and claim it. Often in my Facebook page, I'll get this little note will come up from some organization. You're going to get a check this week. Click here and claim it and thank the Lord for it. And it's going to arrive this week. I always type in there, false teacher, ain't so. Don't follow this. It's true. It is a false teacher. You can't name it and claim it. That's not how prayer works. Real effective prayer works because we're walking with the Lord. We know what he wants us to have. And we don't pray for stuff that we know that he's not for, or stuff that we don't actually need. I've heard actually preachers stand up and say that They prayed for a new Lincoln Continental, and not only did they pray for one, they wanted a red one. And they came out, and there it was. Isn't that ridiculous? That's false. But Jesus, God says, I will answer prayer. If we understand what real spiritual prayer is in the Bible. So I will save you if you call upon me. I will answer prayer. And then here's another one that's very encouraging, and I think this encouraged Moses. It kind of has the idea. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. We're almost done here because we, unlike when Pastor Poehler's here, we didn't have a lot of preliminary things, and he usually has extra music and so forth, and so we're going to get out a little early today. Hebrews chapter 13. And some of you probably will already know what I'm going to read. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. That's talking about your whole life behavior. And be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's that third I will. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And what we're supposed to conclude by that verse is, if you have Jesus, you have enough. You have all you need if you have Jesus. So those three things, what are some I wills for you and me today? I will save you if you call upon me. I will answer prayer if you pray spiritual prayers, the right kinds. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That was true of Moses in his day, and it's true today for us. So Moses did God's will, and it didn't seem like things were going the way that they should. But God encourages Moses to keep doing the right thing, and in time, things would be well. Look in verse 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. Moses is encouraged, even though the people reject Moses, the people still do not listen to Moses under pressure. But now Moses can handle it better because he's reminded to rest in the Lord. He's reminded that his God is powerful. He's reminded that his God is compassionate. He's reminded that his God is faithful. And Moses rests in the Lord. And the big reason is this, and this is a key for us too. Moses is to focus on his God and his God's promises and not on his problems. You have problems today? I mentioned we all have problems. I've got problems. You got problems. And if we focus on those problems, we're going to be a pretty discouraged people, a pretty downhearted people. But if we focus upon God, he's powerful, he's compassionate, and he's faithful. That's the message that Moses got in Exodus chapter 5 and 6 here. Let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you that we can trust you just like Moses did. And we know Moses was under hard pressure because of the tremendous responsibilities he had. And yet you reminded him that no problem is bigger than his God. God's bigger than anything. That his God is aware of what's going on in the lives of the people and in Moses' life. And he's compassionate. And God is faithful. He will fulfill all promises that he has given us. And it's our part to believe. And again, Lord, if there be one here today that's never trusted you, I pray this would be the day they would make that decision. And Lord, if there are those today that have heavy burdens on their hearts, I pray they might learn and cast those cares upon you and trust you and look beyond the problems to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And Brother David's going to lead us in one more hymn here, an invitation.